Welcome to Dwellings, a podcast from the City of San Jose Housing Department, where we talk with experts about ending homelessness, building affordable housing, and exploring housing policies at the city and state level. I'm your host, Allie Rico. On today's episode, I'm joined by Catherine Kaminsky, Acting Deputy Director for the Office of Supportive Housing in Santa Clara County, to learn more about the continuum of care and the role it plays in ending homelessness.
Can you explain what it is you do for Santa Clara County and what your office does?
I am the Acting Deputy Director for the Office of Supportive Housing, the County of Santa Clara. And what I do specifically is I oversee our continuum of care, as well as administrative functions in our office, and also currently oversee our Joint Departmental Operations Center, which is in charge of our COVID-19 response for our homeless community, as well as financial assistance for folks in isolation and quarantine. And our office more broadly, the Office of Supportive Housing, is both a service provider. We run programs out of our office, permanent supportive housing and rapid rehousing programs. We are a funder of services across the community. And we have a housing and community development division as well that funds affordable housing. And so our mission is to provide affordable housing for the most vulnerable people in our community. And more broadly, to end homelessness in Santa Clara County.
So how does the continuum of care work? Because I understand there are a lot of pieces to it.
It's a very good question and a bit of a complicated program and answer. So I'll try to be as clear as possible. So the continuum of care, the COC as we usually call it, is both a federally funded program, but also sort of more locally a group of stakeholders that sets policy and strategic mission for our homeless efforts here. So on the federal side, this is a program that is through the Housing and Urban Development Department and is designed to assist individuals and families experiencing homelessness to provide the services they need and to move them into permanent housing with a goal of long-term stability. More broadly, it is also around, the COC is also designed to promote community-wide planning and strategic use of our resources to end homelessness, to improve coordination with and integration with mainstream resources, to improve data collection and performance management, and really to allow the federal government allows us to tailor our programs within those goals, to tailor our programs to meet the needs in our community. So locally, we have, the COC is really a broad group of stakeholders from the people providing the services. We have a governing board that sort of directs the work of the COC. We have several work groups that set policies for the COC and for our homeless services more broadly. And so it's a very large group, including people with lived experience of homelessness, so that we're making sure we're raising their voices and the way that we're implementing programs and the way that we're allocating resources. So it's really a really broad effort to coordinate and align our efforts to be most effective.
And the way that I understand it is that Destination Home until somewhat recently was the were they operating the continuum of care, or how? I don't understand it that well.
Good question. Until recently, we shared a board. So the Destination Home board also served as the continuum of care board. But the administration of the COC program, we have a governing board that is made up of community members, stakeholders in our community. They designate a collaborative applicant, which means they designate the entity that will sort of submit the application to the federal government for our funding. the Office of Supportive Housing is that collaborative applicant. They also, the board also designates a lead agency to oversee all of our data collection efforts. And they also have designated the Office of Supportive Housing in that role. So the Office of Supportive Housing is sort of the administrative entity, but the board is the governing entity that sets the direction and policy for the COC.
Okay, cool. How do you get funding for the COC? Like, and how does the funding that comes into the COC, how does that then impact the local nonprofits that you work with?
So there's a few things, a few important things to that I'll talk about here. First of all, is the COC funding itself. So we get about 28 million annually. Right now, we have about 28 million annually coming from the COC program as a funding source. The way that we get that funding is it is competitive. So unlike some of the other housing and urban development grants that are based on formula alone, this is a national competition. So what we do is hold a local competition every year that is open to any nonprofit who wants to apply, any nonprofit or local government who wants to apply for a COC project. And that might be a permanent supportive housing project. It might be a, you know, rapid rehousing project, but it's a housing program. And then we have a local rank and review panel. So we have non-conflicted panelists that might be representatives of nonprofits that aren't receiving funding, people with lived experience who review all the applications and rank them in priority order. And then what we as the collaborative applicant, we meaning the Office of Supportive Housing, we take the ranked list and put together the rest of the application and submit that to the federal government. And they decide how many projects will be funded as they look across the projects submitted nationally. So we've been able to increase our funding every year. In fact, over the last 5 years, I think we've doubled our annual continuum of care grants from the federal government. So we've been very successful in that national competition because our agencies are successful in their projects. Their outcomes are good. Our community has come together and really implemented some very strong programs. But in addition to the direct COC funding, there's a lot of other funding sources that are tied to COC. For example, there's been some recent state grants that came directly to the COC. They also gave money directly to the city of San Jose and the county directly, but there was portions of those grants that went to the COC. And then there's other funding sources that may use information from the COC to allocate their funds, whether it's the data we collect that influences the funding, or for example, the point in time count that we conduct. That will be the basis for funding that comes from federal, state, or local sources.
So do all of the nonprofits that work with the COC, do they need to like report back every single thing that they're working on, or only insofar as the funding that they get from you? If that question makes sense.
So they don't formally report to the COC. What we do is we administer a community-wide database called the Homeless Management Information System. And so basically all it is, it's a database that the COC and the county and the city of San Jose all provide funding for this. So it's not on the agencies to have to pay more money to participate. In terms of licensing and training, we provide all that. And then we ask all agencies, whether they're funded with COC or not, to participate in that so that we have a better idea in our community of, one, the needs of the homeless individuals in our community, and also how our system is doing in serving the most vulnerable people. So which programs are working really well, how we can improve those programs. Having a comprehensive system-wide database where we're looking at that is incredibly helpful in our strategic planning and our resource allocation. It's also really helpful on a individual basis because our case, you know, as you might expect, many of our clients experiencing homelessness are accessing resources from multiple agencies and nonprofits in our community, and it helps them better coordinate across those services so that we are, you know, providing the best support that we can to the people who need it.
And what did we do? Because there other counties have COCs. It's not just Santa Clara County, correct? Because it's federal. Yes. It's a federal program.
Most larger communities have them. And then for small rural areas, they're part of a COC that's called the balance of state. So every community is covered by a COC, but the larger areas population-wise have sort of administer their own.
Gotcha. So what did local governments do before HUD established this program? The way that I understand it from like talking to Jen Loving is that it was kind of like everybody was stepping on each other's toes and all doing kind of the same thing. So what did we do before we had this organized group?
Yeah, I think it was much more disjointed. I mean, there certainly were still local governments and nonprofits doing incredible work, but it was far less coordinated and strategic in terms of leveraging our joint contributions to do as much as we possibly can in terms of using the same measures of success across our community so that you know, we are comparing apples to apples and setting policy for the community at our entire community of service providers so that clients receive the same level of care and treatment as to the extent possible, and it's fair and equitable in the way that we're allocating resources. Unfortunately, we've always been in a resource scarce environment when it comes to supporting the people that need housing assistance, and there's never been enough to meet the need. So one of our, you know, one of the real benefits of having this strategic alignment across our community is that it's a more fair and equitable way to prioritize those resources for the people that need it the most.
Does the COC have any hands in what's going on with Project Home Key and those hotel purchases, or is that a separate program?
It's not a COC program directly, but the partners and agencies that are either the applicants for those projects or the providers that are going to be providing services at those projects are all involved in the COC and aligned with the COC in terms of their goals and what they're trying to achieve. So a couple of projects were the counties, the city, the city of San Jose, the city of Mountain View partnered with Life Moves on a project. So we're in close communication with them to make sure that their efforts are aligned with the goals of our community plan to end homelessness, but they're not COC funded directly.
How involved is the COC with developing the community plan to end homelessness?
Very. So we took the leadership role in developing the community plan with our partners at Destination Home. But really, this continuum of care board is the oversight, provides oversight for the community plan to end homelessness, and will be that governing body that will make sure that we're moving towards our goals and aligning resources. But the COC also was the, we did as much outreach as possible to make sure we were engaging people from across the community in the development of that plan, and making sure we were incorporating as many voices as possible in how we were, in the recommendations we were making and the strategies we were making that got included in the plan.
And can you talk a little bit about how important it is to have the lived experience members of your COC board and your and the community plan?
Yeah, I think it's a critical piece of any successful effort to end homelessness is making sure that we are working really closely with folks with lived experience, because I mean, for obvious reasons, they know better than anybody the needs of people in the position of that they were once in. And they also, many of them have been through programs that we operate. And so understanding their experience in going through our system, staying in shelters, being in housing programs, can really, their feedback and input in how to improve those programs is critical. Data tells us one thing and gives us some perspective on what's working, but really that knowledge and the voices of people who can tell us what we need to do better is essential as we move forward. So one of the value, we have two guiding values of our community plan to end homelessness, and one of them is specifically to raise the voices of people with lived experience and share power with our unhoused neighbors as we move these strategies forward, which I think has always been a part of what we do, but we are trying to do more than we ever have in the past. And our lived experience advisory board that Jen probably talked about on the previous podcast has been an incredible, an incredible group to work with in improving our programs, improving our system, and doing better. They're super dedicated and knowledgeable and influential, and I'm so grateful that they were a part of the community plan and a part of the COC more broadly in how we set policy and funding decisions as well.
We have, I feel like, I've only lived here for 3 years and I've worked for the city for just over a year. And I feel like I keep learning about new nonprofit agencies that are working to end homelessness and to help shelter unhoused residents. What are the benefits and the drawbacks of having so many nonprofits that are all working towards the same goal?
I think the benefit really is that the more partners we have working towards this common goal, the more services we can provide, and the more the increased access to services is a huge component of what can make our programs a success, and making sure more agencies means, I think, more access, easy access for clients. And that might mean, working with community partners that are, really have a strong neighborhood presence, who know a specific community better than I would or Jen would or other partners would, and can really help us make sure services are specifically tailored to that neighborhood. And that goes across different populations, working with our providers that work with survivors of domestic violence, or working with providers that serve youth and young adults. Like the more that we have, they're going to know the needs of their community and the people they serve and be able to tailor those services, while still aligning with sort of the broader purpose of the community plan to end homelessness and larger community goals. So I think that's really the true benefit. More ideas, more programs, and more advocates in our community for the work that we're gonna do. I think the disadvantages is just a more complex coordination, making sure that we are working with all of those partners, for example, the sort of just on the administrative side, training more people to utilize our homeless management information database so that we're coordinating with those new agencies. So, there may be some additional coordination needed, but I think the overall benefit of of having more varied service providers far outweighs that burden, and that administrative burden is one that, you know, that's a huge part of why the CUC exists, so mm-hmm. that we can help coordinate across those agencies.
Do you ever run into an issue where, like, there's competition for funding among all of the different nonprofits, or has the fact that we have so many, does that just mean that year after year we continue to get more funding for programs?
Unfortunately, we're always, you know, we always still have less resources than we need to serve everybody, and so there is competition for funding. But what I have seen in our community is agencies really come together around that common goal. And they do that when it comes to funding as well. So on the continuum of care side, we as a community decide how we're going to prioritize projects, and that is based on what are the needs of the community, and not what are the needs of one agency over another. So that we're really addressing this in a systemic way and a comprehensive way, rather than pitting one agency against another for that competition. So it really is sort of a coordinated effort. Unfortunately, if I wish we were in a place where there was no competition, because we could fund all the projects, you know, all the great programs that agencies could do and fully meet the need of the people in our community. But that is one of the goals that we're working towards and hope to expand over the next over the next 5 years with this community plan to end homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Does the funding from Measure A, does the continuum of care like work with that at all, or is that also a separate part of the Office of Supportive Housing in the county?
No. We definitely work together to try to align those resources and leverage as much as we can. So for example, a permanent supportive housing development may be funded with Measure A for the development side of it. We may, for the folks that move in and are living in that development, the supportive services that they receive, the case management, that might be funded by one of our continuum of care programs. And that's fairly common for us, where we're trying to leverage as much as possible to use our COC services to support those developments.
Cool. What drew you to this work, and why did you get involved in housing and homelessness work?
Yeah. Great question. You know, for me, housing is a human right. I think that everybody in our country and everybody in our community deserves a safe and stable place to live. And I was initially drawn to this work. I started my career in community organizing, and a lot of the issues I saw people facing as I was doing my work was around, or one of the primary barriers to addressing issues was housing instability. And I felt passionate about, you know, how the housing first model, and that people need a safe place to stay before they can tackle other issues that they might be facing. So I began working in the housing sector, and initially was working on sort of more of the policy side of things. But was really drawn to sort of the local community work in Santa Clara County because of the strong partnerships here and the united vision that this community has towards this common goal.
I want to give people listening to the podcast a way of helping if they like. I want to give them a call to action if they feel like they've gotten to the end of the podcast and I'm like, well, what the hell am I supposed to, how does one person help? So what is one piece of advice that you would give to somebody listening for how they could get more involved in ending homelessness or even just housing advocacy in general? What would you recommend?
Couple of things. I think the most immediate and easiest things that people can do is educate themselves and talk with their neighbors and their family and friends about the issue, about not only homelessness, but affordable housing. A lot of the challenges we have are just support for, you know, low-income housing in our neighborhoods. And I think we have a lot of work to do to educate each other and learn the issue. And that's one thing that I think is critically important and can be done immediately. You know, if folks have time or financial resources, looking to work with one of our many dozens, if not hundreds, of agencies doing amazing work in our community, volunteering hours. I know that's tough right now, but there's still, you know, a lot of our homeless service agencies, their work never stopped and need volunteers even during this pandemic, but also need financial support. So if folks can donate to one of our agencies across the community, those are some immediate things that people can do to support the cause. I just would take the time to give a shout out to all of our partners and our nonprofit agencies that have been just working tirelessly, all of the frontline staff who don't get enough recognition for their always amazing work, but the work over the last 9 months in a truly extremely difficult time to support our most vulnerable neighbors. I've been just amazed and inspired by their efforts, and just want to say thank you to everybody, and looking forward to continuing this work, this important work together.
Thanks so much to Catherine for joining me on today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about the continuum of care, please visit the County Office of Supportive Housing website at sccgov.org/sites/OSH. Thanks for listening to Dwellings, the City of San Jose Housing Department podcast. Our theme music is Speed City, composed and performed by Etain Charles. Thanks to San Jose Jazz for letting us use your music. If you like the show, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. If you're looking for more ways to get involved with housing and homelessness response, please check out the show notes. You can follow the Housing Department on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook at SJ City Housing. Our artwork is by Chelsea Palacio. Dwellings is produced by me, Allie Rico, and Jeff Scott of the Housing Department.